Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
All right, folks, welcome to That's Your Opinion with Fred Smoot, Chick Hernandez, the Amish one, Cy Fenwick is, by the way,
yeah.
So here's the deal with Cy.
Uh-huh.
He tells us, and by the way, Ben Standing from The Athletic will join us here in a few minutes to talk about the Washington football team, the draft, and the names that are being bandied about for the new names. I'm not sure about that. Someone is smoking something serious in that building.
Oh, yeah. It's something getting smoked.
But Amish says that he might not make it, which, as you can tell now, he is not on this podcast because they're having an anniversary dinner. They're not married, but they're having an anniversary dinner.
Well, you know, before you get married, women put particular names on small things like dinner. Like even my ex-wife, she wanted to have a dinner for her last day with her last name the day before we got married.
She wanted to have a dinner the day she was going to lose her name and then become Mrs. Smoot.
Yes, because she was going to become Mrs. Smoot less than 48 hours. So just almost a farewell dinner to her last name, which she eventually retrieved and got back again.
Yeah, she did retrieve that name. I wonder if she had a dinner for that to get her name back.
Of course, that's what women do. They have bigger divorce parties than they do marriage parties.
That's what women do. If all you ladies out there listening right now, that was Fred Smoot talking, not me.
Yep.
So Cy is what we in the biz call whipped already.
How you get married.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a long road. If he's already doing anniversary dinners when they're not married, I mean, come on.
I can only wonder what's coming ahead for this.
Yeah. He's not here to defend himself. Fred, we're going to be betting, I'm sure. There's going to be some betting going on.
That's what I do for a living.
To the draft. That's what you bet for you gamble for a living?
Yeah, you remember that movie that Will Smith was in, and he was a gambling pro. Great movie. But no, I'm not what you call a gamble for a living guy, but I will have me some fun at the table. Now, I will have me some fun for the football game, a basketball game, maybe even soccer. Soccer and tennis actually, I think, pays out a lot more money than the average football game.
I want to check that out. Bet Online, by the way, is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Washington football team. We're getting ready. The draft is not that far away.
2 weeks away. Two weeks away. The day of tears is what I call it.
The sweetest day of tears.
America gets to taste in its life, because it's a day that dreams come true. It's a day that hard work pays off. It's a day that some of these kids that's 19, 21, 22 years old has been praying for their whole life. It's a day that changes families. It's a day that changes generations. It's a day that changes careers.
Wow, you're deep, man. It does. There's no question it does. It does from the great angle of you know, guys who know they're going in that first round. Back in the day, they used to all be invited to New York and get their suits made up. You did, mm-hmm. right? All mm-hmm. that jazz. Mm-hmm. There are other guys who think they're going in the first two rounds, and then they sit there, and they sit there, and they sit there, and it doesn't happen. And they still make the league. A lot of them make the league. But they don't get that pick. And getting picked gets you what?
Well, I tell you what, getting picked after you think you should get picked puts a chip on your shoulder, automatically making you more focused than the guys that went before you. We've seen this story happen so many times with guys like Aaron Rodgers. As he sits there and watches Alex Smith goes before him to number one to San Francisco, right. He's never let them forget that. Tom Brady still plays with that chip on his shoulder. Maurice Jones-Drew wore the number 32 because he's had 32 teams passed on him. So for all the blessings that come true that day, it's a lot of dreams that are not, how should I say, fulfilled the way that they thought it was, but it also is a blessing in disguise because it turns them into a Chad Johnson, a Steve Smith, a Tom Brady, a late round draft pick that becomes London Fletcher. So that's the difference.
By the way, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, another guy named Aaron Donald, who the dumbest man in America was the guy that said, I want to fight that guy. Those pictures of him.
I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what? Me being an athlete, I know why it happens. Being manly is a macho thing in itself.
Right.
And the measuring stick for most men are the top peak athletes and the guys that play that 1% pinnacle of athlete. And when they get around us sometimes, especially as the alcohol is flowing, sometimes they want to test themselves. Like they'll want to race us, or they'll want to fight us, or they'll want something physical to happen so they can measure themselves to us. But some guys, if they are beating the other 1% up, you should not try this guy. They're just like me starting to fight with an MMA fighter. And I see the cauliflower ear. I see it. I just said because he won 60, I think I got a chance. No, right. He fights for a living. I don't have a chance.
Let's get in. Ben Standing has gotten into the queue. We'll bring him in. Maybe we'll see if Ben's ever gotten in a fight. So I had this conversation a little while ago with actually my oldest son. There's Ben Standing. Ben is now messing with his hair as if that's going to make a difference for this podcast.
No, Ben, that hair ain't going nowhere.
It is quite the show. Apologies for that.
Don't apologize.
So feel free to be yourself.
So Ben Standing from The Athletic joins us now, covers the NFL and the Washington football team. And off topic, or kind of slightly off topic, Ben, is we were just talking about Aaron Donald and the dumbass who decided that this is a good idea. I'm going to take on Aaron Donald, and I'm going to look like, I don't know, the worst boxer in America.
He got tossed out the club.
He was so swollen. So which leads me to this question, and I had this conversation with my son the other day, is think back to your school days. Ben, did you ever get in a fight in elementary or junior high school?
No. I will admit to this, that in fourth or fifth grade, I'm not kidding, the bully of the grade, if that was a thing, was a very big girl. And she may have like shoved at some point. And I think even then I kind of realized, you know, no, I'm not going to go down that path. But I was definitely in the lover, not a fighter category. I avoided such things whenever possible.
You should live in Virginia. You should live in Virginia, most definitely.
Wait, can you name the girl? I think it's okay.
Her name was Lisa. I don't know if I remember the last name.
You don't remember the last name.
She never demanded my milk money, but if she had, it might have been a problem.
And Fred, were you a fighter in school or no?
Well, I'm too much of a jokester. You know what I'm saying? I was always an athlete. So the athletes kind of run in packs, and we're not usually tried by most guys. Like the only time you'll get in a fight in high school and you probably play sports, it has to be over a girl. It has to be over a woman or something. It's usually not anybody just going out of their way to fight you in high school. Usually, as athletes, we don't get tried until we get in the pros. When we get in the pros, men like to measure themselves against us. So that's when we get tried, when we go out sometimes to clubs and the alcohol is pouring and a guy say, oh, yeah, I want to see, can I hold up against him? And that's when that type stuff, that's when everybody turns to He-Man.
Right. I remember I got in two fights. One was over a girl in high school, but that fight never really took place because our best friends broke us up in time for that. But I do remember in eighth grade, a guy, Wayne Seaton, never forget his name, who, you know, in gym class basketball, and those games are bloodlets, and they just
he beat you up, right? Because I see you hesitating to get to the point.
He was a gnat. He was a gnat. He just always fouling. And finally, I had enough of like, dude, seriously. Like, we're going back to class a little bit. This ain't that important. Stop with the freaking fouls already. And it happened again. And I'm like, oh, we're going. And we went right there in the gym on a newly finished basketball court. One of us was not wearing a shirt. That would not be me. Skin squeaks on a newly finished court. That's all I'll say about Wayne Seton.
But you never said who won, so I can't give you any props for that.
No, it wasn't a winner or loser there. We both got put in detention and all that jazz, and you know, so there wasn't, you know, it's eighth grade, man. It's like it ain't what you see on social media now, all that stuff.
If you both went to detention, it sounds like there might have been a couple losers then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I spent a few days in there. I spent so many days in the principal's office that I'm not gonna humble brag here, but when I was inducted into my high school hall of fame last year, it was my principal who introduced me, shocked me, showed up. We're talking now, it's 30 something years later.
Get my old man trophies. When you usually get when your high school inducts you, they don't do that before 50. I'm sorry. These are old man trophies that you're displaying right now.
Well, I don't mind. You know, trophy's a trophy. It was not a participation trophy. I wasn't inducted because I was great in high school. Let me tell you that right now. That was not the case.
No. It's for everything that you did afterward. You made the high school proud. Now, I got to throw this in your lap, Ben. Did you see the list of names that came out that was eligible for the team and the fans to vote on today? Did you hear any of them or did you see any of them?
I saw a little something about that.
What did you think about some of the names? And what is your vision or how do you feel we should approach the namesake?
I mean, I think obviously, you know, they're throwing out the whole point of this. Like, I know everybody wants a new name, but the whole point of all this is to do it responsibly and take your time and figure it out. And it looks like it's just some marketing situation and they're throwing a bunch of names against the wall. And I would venture to guess none of the names are going to be the one that ever gets picked. But look, whatever happens, I think they're doing a smart thing at the moment by doling out a little bit at a time. Keeping fans engaged. It's obvious people get excited when there's some mentions of these things. So, I didn't look at any of them and think to myself, wow, that's good, that's terrible. It was just more like, okay, this is part of the process. But it's interesting to see the excitement that people have out there.
Well, Chick, you have some of the names written down over there. Could you shoot some to be quick?
So, you know, there's the normal fare. Warriors, we knew that was going to pop up at some point. Red Wolves, Stinks. That would be Mr. Fred Smoot's favorite Red Wolves.
I am the Red Wolf himself.
You are the Red Wolf. Red Tails, DC Football Club, DCFC. DCFC, Aces, Razorbacks. I'm not sure what the hell they're thinking there. I'm saving the best for last, by the way. Warthogs, not Warthogs, like the soccer team back in the day for DC Warthogs,
right.
Washington Warthogs. The Commanders, the Armada, and I think my favorite, not because it's the best, but it's just my favorite, the Washington Demon Cats. Who in the hell thought Demon Cats? Like you're at home. And you're thinking to yourself, I know this got to be a good name. Demon Cats. That's it. What the hell?
Why are we making this so hard? Ben, let me take you through some facts because I am a fact checker. We have been here before. The last time we was here as a community, I wasn't even here yet. But they put something out there. They said, you know what? We have to change the name from the Washington Bullets. What do y'all want? We ended up with the Washington Wizards. We've been here before and we failed. And we have failed miserably. And I just watched a soccer team in Seattle take 1 year, come up with the Seattle Kraken, and they got the name that they wanted. Everybody's happy. Why are we making this so complicated?
Well, I mean, I think like the one thing that's obviously unusual in this circumstance is one, it's pretty rare to have a team have a name, one that's been established for as long as this one has been, mm-hmm. to then change it. And then they're changing it also for reasons that are not the best, as opposed to like the Charlotte Hornets and Bobcats or whatever. So that makes it more curious. Whereas like say in the case of the Kraken, it was all done behind the scenes. They just knew one day there'd be an expansion team. That itself is exciting. And then, oh, by the way, here's the name. What do you think? And then, yes, they seem to have gotten lucky that it was a name that everybody was excited about. So, obviously, look, with this franchise, as we know, everything is more complicated. And so I think there's why should the name change be any different?
Demon cats, go, go, go.
Like none of that comes with anything. Like, at least when I sell my Red Wolf thing, yeah, I have things that not only the fans can grow with. I know most people don't even understand, for football to be such a macho sport, when did birds become macho? Because last time I checked, it's the Arizona Cardinals, the Atlanta Falcons, the Baltimore Ravens. We have the Philadelphia Eagles. We have all these birds, but we have no dogs. We have no canines in the NFL. We would be the first canine in the NFL. I think everything else sounds too generic. I think it just sounds too generic.
Having written about this last year when all this kind of started, I mean, I think, and I don't think you had needed a branding expert to hear this. I think at the end of the day, the last thing you want is something that everybody just sort of shrugs their shoulders. Even if it's like the Philadelphia Flyers mascot, Gritty, you know? I mean, that mm-hmm. thing is hideous. And I'm sure when somebody first saw it, they were like, what is this? But it got an incredible reaction. Now, obviously it turned positive, but the point is you want the reaction. So even like to the name that Chick has come up with, that's going to get you a reaction. Is that the best name possible? I don't know, but like, at least it's a reaction. Whereas a lot of these names you see are just like, and I don't think that's what anybody wants, no matter what happens.
Right. We got two topics here. Today, Redskins, there I did it. There's a dollar in the jar.
Put it in the swear jar. I need it in the jar.
Washington football team owner Dan Snyder filing a motion of discovery against his former team president, Bruce Allen, in a federal court, seeking to go through his text messages and documents that allegedly led to negative reporting against him. This circus is going to continue for a while. I'm interested to find out from you, Ben. You covered the team for a few years now. Just Bruce Allen. When I say Bruce Allen, you think what?
Well, I had to censor myself for a second. I mean, you know, I think I'll just be kind and say he seems to look, the owner is still here, right? So that hasn't changed, but he seems to just almost by himself represent everything that was considered negative about what happened prior to, at least let's say, when Ron Rivera took over, and just the kind of icky unease. And I'm not even talking about what we've learned in the last several months about the harassment charges, which mm-hmm. is obviously a whole all negative, and he was there for that. But I mean, that's even goes beyond him. But I'm just in terms of the football side of it, just everything just didn't seem to be above board. And you know, look, and a comment that was being played today on Twitter because of this lawsuit was the clip of him saying the culture is damn good.
You're right.
To we all knew in the moment that was nuts.
Yeah.
But then to hear that, and then what happened months later what happened this past year with the harassment stories, reports yeah. coming out, just goes to show just now how that was so off, both on the football side of it and on the business side of it, the building side of it. And just not a lot of great vibes when you think about Bruce Allen in these parts.
Icky's a good word for me, by the way. I like that word.
I actually think, and you know me, I'm a big Dan supporter. I actually think Dan has taken his time, has weathered the storm, and one by one, he's gotten everybody who's betrayed him mm-hmm. Soprano style. He's outthought billionaires. You remember Chick, a year ago, I told you, we are watching a billionaire boys fight. And right. Nobody wants to say anything. We're watching Bezos go by the Washington Post only to say, I got a story coming for y'all Friday. Mm-hmm. Because he wants the Washington football team. We watch Fred Smith get up in a meeting and hold a mutiny to get the other owners so they can run him out of town. But one by one, John Wick, a.k.a. Dan Snyder, seems to continue to one by one take his enemies down.
Yeah, you know, I know how you feel about Dan. How did you feel about Bruce, Fred?
I wasn't really close to Bruce. You know, Bruce was nostalgia for the fan base. Right. He was nostalgia to a better time because his name, how should I say, echoed that better time.
The Allen name, right.
But as Bruce as a person, I didn't see anything that Bruce was doing special. I was one of those people, I was quick to say it has to be a change there. Because Bruce was like, you know how sometimes when you get a job and you're too comfortable, it doesn't bring out the best in you. And I felt like Bruce was just too comfortable. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like he felt like he had anything to live up to besides his family name. I think nobody was holding him accountable, and it showed in the team and everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
The one thing I always wonder in these circumstances, whether it's talking about Bruce Allen or Ernie Grunfeld or whoever is the GM of the Nats or the Caps or whatever, is what's the line between what they are doing because they think in their role this is what they would do versus, well, I know what I want to do, but I've got orders, marching orders coming from up top, whether that's a budgetary thing. You can't trade player X, Y, or Z. I don't want that. What, you know, you want Dwayne Haskins, these types of things. How much is, you know, where's that line? Like, if we're all going to say, has been reported by lots of us, that in the case of, say, Dwayne Haskins, that Dan Snyder wanted him. Okay, well, technically that's under Bruce Allen's watch, right? Well, what other things were under that? Which I'm not giving Bruce Allen a pass, but it's the same issue I've always said when it comes to, say, the Wizards as well, is, okay, we can keep blaming the executive and that this, it is his sort of job to take the proverbial bullets, but everybody has a boss and everybody has orders, and to what degree you're allowed to do things is a big deal. So, like, in some respects, like Washington's set situation right now with the defensive line and a pretty decent cap space, a lot of that came from the Bruce Allen era. Don't get me wrong, as I said it before, icky and all that stuff, but like, it's just always hard to know, like, what I think that, like, on some level, what's interesting to me about Ron Rivera with Dan Snyder is he seems to be doing a good job of, I'll just say, managing the situation that maybe previous people did. Maybe, I think previous people maybe just sort of couldn't figure out how to not cave into the owner's wishes, and that led to some problems. And Ron at the moment seems to be figuring out a better balance, keeping the owner in the loop, but doing what he thinks he needs to actually do on the football side.
Well, you could tell that Dan didn't trust the people that was over there for the first time, because you got to realize when I got on the team, it was a hands-on Dan Snyder. By the time that regime got there, Dan had kind of step back and say, you know what, I'm gonna let y'all handle things. And he did that with untrustworthy people who left him in shambles. So now with Coach Rivera and the new regime, he feel like I got some people that I can actually trust who not only played football at a high level, has coached at a high level, and instead of one GM, I'm gonna bring in a hive mind of them. I think he's done a great job in looking in his past and said, this was my flaw, this was my flaw, this was my flaw. I'm going to put the team together and step out the way and let them do their job. I'm going to let the football people do the football jobs, and that's what I think going on right
now. I hope so. I really hope so, because that's what was necessary for the last 15 years, no doubt. And if you're right, then they're on the right path. They certainly made some moves to be on the right path. Ben Standing from The Athletic joining us here. Before we get to the draft, I'm sorry, Fred, they're not going to draft the tight end. It's not going to happen. Not your boy, Kyle Pitts. He just vaulted
off
the board.
He won't be there.
He won't be there. But, Ben, they just picked up a tight end, and I watched a little bit of his Zoom press conference. This dude's got a great story, and, I mean, he's primed to be ready to step in and be one of those guys you go, huh, and then boom, like Logan Thomas. I mean, we all thought, what? And then, oh, shit. Logan,
a comfort for this guy is Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, like ex-basketball player. And from what I hear and from what I've seen, he's a lot rougher than him. You know, the one thing that they had to get used to was blocking at the point of attack. This guy seems to kind of have that trick in his bag, and what he needs to learn is just football. And if you got a coach with a clear sheet of paper, meaning no bad habits, meaning not a lot of bad coaching, I think that's a coach's dream. So I think he's one of these guys that we're going to have to account for as part of this draft that might be the best player in this draft for us.
Two quick thoughts here. One, an amazing Zoom press conference the other day, to the point when I joked with one of the PR or Washington's PR and said, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, on day one of training camp, here are the three people we want: Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chase Young, and Samus Reyes. He was that fun and that interesting. The other thing is, and I just told the story on my podcast, like a week, 10 days ago, I was talking to an agent about the draft and some various things, whatever. And he just says to me randomly, hey, some scout told me that there was international players at Florida's pro day, and apparently there's some tight end people were comparing to, like, Gronkowski. Like, he, like, looked like Gronkowski, and this guy, you should, like, look into this. I'm like, well, I mean, what's his name? He's like, I don't know, he's from Canada. I'm like, looking it up. I'm like, Canada? I can't find anything. I got nothing. And then, obviously, now here we are a week or so later, we find out, oh, from Chile. So So, you know, had the letter C, had a lot of it right, but if only he could give me the country, I might have had something.
Yeah.
He's going to be great. I'm telling you now. Fred Smoot said it first. He will become a Pro Bowler.
Let's put it down. Let's mark it down. Fred Smoot says he will become a Pro Bowler.
Come on, I'm the same guy before the season when nobody was talking about Kyle Pitts. I look you in the face. I said he will be a top five draft pick and the best tight end to come out the draft in the last 30 years.
Yeah, he certainly did well at getting ready, and so he's going to go top five. Ben, you've covered this squad, this organization for a while. The moves, they've already deemed Washington as the offseason winners, which is in the years past has happened because they were offseason winners because of the circus atmosphere. In this case, the moves that this team has made, the guys that they have brought in, signed and got them in the fold. I'm for one impressed by what they've done to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, It's a brilliant move to bring in a veteran quarterback who is looking for that one last chance, really, to lead a squad. And several moves they've made. But what are your thoughts on who they brought in?
Yeah, I think what I like about I'm not one. I generally don't like when the coach has the personnel power. I think that can be a bad situation. The jobs are very different, and you know, one's more about the moment, one's more about the future. As it stands so far, Ron Rivera in two off seasons, we'll almost completed the second one in a minute or in a couple of weeks with the draft, is he seems to be willing to let the personnel side, essentially that side of his brain, not do what it's needed to and not just live for the moment. So like the three big signings, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Curtis Samuel, William Jackson, all needs. And Samuel kind of seemed obvious because of the Carolina ties, but there was a lot of patience involved. None of the deals were for crazy money, as was when you talked about winning the offseason before in the early part of the Dan Snyder era. That was the big aspect of it: big money, big names, not enough production. So a lot of patience shown, smart targeting, and I think also to sort of the point before about the Bruce Allen era. Picks would be made that didn't automatically mesh with the quarterback or the situation. And it felt like here, again, because the same person is effectively doing both jobs, that isn't a problem. And I think that's so far so good on what they're doing. And it's to the point of, Fitzpatrick is just a good to him. I mean, super fun, obviously. He's going to be, it's like the literal opposite of Alex Smith, other than the fact that they're both seem to be great locker room leaders. They're the literal opposite quarterbacks, the gunslinger, all that. And I think that's going to be exciting because it's going to allow Scott Turner to open up the offense in ways that were just not possible last year, no matter who was under center. So I think that's pretty exciting. Plus with all the speed now, McLaurin, Samuel, Gibson, I think this offense, hopefully, knock on wood, just simply for those of us who have to watch all the time, is going to be more fun and not nearly as pedestrian as it was a year ago.
Do you like saving money? Have you thought about switching to solar? If the answer is yes to both of those questions, then you'll want to hear what Smart Roof can offer you. Switching to solar with Smart Roof can save you 10 to 40% on your electricity bill and can save you money monthly right from day one. Want to see if you qualify for solar? Call 833-343-ROOF. That's 833-343-ROOF. Or visit our website, smartroof.inc. That's smartroofinc.com. And use the promo code CHICKENSMOOT. You get a free energy savings report and solar design mock-up.
Well, here you go, Stan. I'm going to give you some cues. What makes this offense hard? If I'm on the defense and they come out there and they got Curtis Samuel and they have Antonio Gibson and they have Logan Thomas, those are three people that can play multiple positions. All right, the one thing about it, Antonio Gibson is an XY receiver. You don't know where they're going to line him up at. Curtis Samuel. So now my middle linebackers have problems identifying what set are they in and what personnel group are they in. And that's going to be a wrench in most defenses the entire time because they are so versatile and they can all play so many different things. So that's what I'm saying. So they can literally run five wide receivers out there. You can match up with five DBs and we can motion Curtis Samuel to the tailback position and we got you outnumbered in the box. These are the simple things that the offensive coordinator will be able to do with these non-positional football players.
For sure. I mean, I think that was one thing last year. Obviously, the offseason last year was bizarre. because of the pandemic, but we kept hearing about how, like, Antonio Gibson in particular, is he going to be in the slot? Is he going to be in the backfield? If the defense has a 4-3 base, you can move him to a receiver slot. Now you have a linebacker covering a receiver. You go into a nickel package, you put him in the backfield and run against that. And you could do that. Like you said, Samuel gives you more of that as well. JD McKissick a little bit as well from his receiver background. And yeah, and that was the big thing. You noticed a lot of movement last year. But like I said, I think because of the limitations of quarterback, there was only so much I think they could open up. I think their goal is obviously to open it up a lot more this year. And Fitzpatrick gives them that option, as does the speed that they now have at a receiver.
You know, and it's all up to Scott Turner, really. I'm not sure what all the weapons he had at his previous gig, but he's got to be able to change that offense because of what you just said, Fred. He's got so many different things. So let's throw the kitchen sink at a defense every now and again and show them a wild look and let's do something crazy. Also set up the rest of the game with different formations and come out of that. And I hope that he does utilize that. We got the draft coming up a couple of weeks here, Ben. So my question to you is, right now, as we speak, the Washington football team has the 19th pick. Will they be at 19? And if so, in your many machinations of this draft, who are they taking?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I'm not getting caught up in this trading up for a quarterback scenario. It would kind of go against everything Rivera's talked about to this point in terms of how to build a team. I mean, they have been aggressive in trying to get a quarterback. They tried to get Matthew Stafford, and they've looked at some other things. But, you know, trading up a bunch of picks to get a quarterback who, if you look, obviously if you think this quarterback is great, you go do it. But I don't know. I'm not getting that vibe that that's the way they're going to go, at least significantly. So I'm going to guess they're ultimately at 19, that the quarterback's in front of them and unfolding some other way. Offensive tackle and linebacker, if we're talking needs and sort of the way the board unfolds, I think those make the most sense. Sort of the easiest player to target would be Christian Darrisaw, the Virginia Tech tackle. Like, there are four offensive linemen considered to be the best one. Some people really like him, and it's possible he goes earlier, but I think there's a decent chance he's there at 19. They were at his pro day. I think it would make a lot of sense, you know, for what they're looking to do. That's a one spot on offense that they can and arguably should upgrade. I think linebacker would sort of be my fallback, but Darrisaw would be the option. But, you know, I don't feel particularly great about it. Maybe it's overthinking, which is a go-to in my life these days. But I'm not quite sure. The linebackers, not everybody's convinced that the likely ones are worthy of the 19th pick. And if Darrisaw isn't there, then we are kind of maybe looking at a best player available situation, and that becomes obviously a complete wild card.
Well, actually, Ben, I'm here to tell you, as the voice of reasoning, you are completely wrong. All right. Luckily today, I had a chance to chop it up with Coach Rivera. We filmed the show together, and in between the show, you know, I love to talk draft. We were just talking it up, just like two football players, just talking it up. And I told him how in love I was with Zaven Collins, linebacker from Tulsa, 6'5", 250, can run with the wind. And he said, you know what? I like him too. But the thing about that guy, he's more of a 3-4 linebacker than a 4-3. I think he would actually maximize. So then in my head, I'm like, all right, so that's telling me Coach likes Michael Parsons a lot better, which it's a chance he won't be there at 19. It's Jeremiah Uzun-Kamara from Notre Dame. And I thought about it as we got to talking, and it reminded me of Thomas Davis and Shaq Thompson. They were ex-DBs that could play linebacker. He put a couple pounds on them and allowed them to play behind Peppers in that defensive line. So once I seen that, I said, okay, so he's going to stay away from a guy like Zaven Collins. That means he will head to Jeremiah. Jabril Cox from LSU could be a guy that could play wheel linebacker. Jamin Davis from Kentucky, who blazed at 40 at a 4-4. I think his stock is rising up there too. So when I just that conversation telling me, I think he's going to take the best linebacker, second-level defensive player, because this guy from Notre Dame actually plays safety and linebacker. He's going to take one of those guys in the first round. And in the second or third, that's when I think he reaches for a quarterback, David Steels from Stanford. He's a guy that's heading up people, boys. He's 6'4", 20, 25 pounds. He only had, 12 starts this year. But he's a guy that I think he ran a 4.5 40 at that big, and he can really let it go. He just needs some time to get ready. And Fitzmagic says, you have time to get ready.
A lot of good analysis in there, and I appreciate you telling me what the head coach is thinking. To add to those points, so in the last two mock drafts I've done, I think published, or if not, maybe just on my own, I had Jamin Davis or Owusu-Koramoah because I was having the top four offensive linemen gone. My only hesitation is when talking to people around the league, not everybody's convinced that they are worthy of being pick 19, but we'll see. I think in terms of the linebacker and spoiler, I have a story coming out tomorrow on The Athletic, a sort of like a draft notebook, and under the Washington section, it exactly mentions Shaq Thompson and how that would make sense for Owusu-Koramoah as a fit. He's just so slight. He bulked up prior to his pro day to get to 221. And mm-hmm. some scouts just wondered, do you hold up at that weight at that you're playing linebacker more or less over the course of 17 games. I have to remind myself it's 17. And as far as Davis Mills, I'm not convinced they take a quarterback, even though we know that logically they need a long-term one. But I had reported recently that Davis Mills was somebody they had looked at. So, I've been keeping my eye on him. I talked to Stanford coach David Shaw the other day on the podcast about Mills and some of the other guys just for that reason.
Yep, and also Newman from Georgia that actually didn't play at Georgia. He was at Wake Forest.
Right.
The quarterback Newman, he's another guy that I could see on their radar.
Any surprises in the draft at all? I mean, we finally saw San Francisco go out and see Mr. Fields get his workout in. Anything that you think is coming besides Bill Belichick finding a way to get somebody great?
I think obviously the two picks that really are going to have to be the fun with this draft, I think. The one is the third pick. You know, what does San Francisco actually do? Is that really going to go through with this Mac Jones situation?
Move up 20 picks for Mac Jones. I refuse to believe. Now, the only thing pushes me that way, Standy, is if you look at Shanahan's history, besides RG3, he's always had people that can work from the pocket. All right. He likes them to have enough mobility to do the bootlegs. But other than that, he likes for them to run from the pocket. But I refuse to believe that he thinks, first of all, I need to move up for Mac Jones. Second of all, that Justin Fields' ceiling is not higher than Matt Jones. And they say Matt Jones is more, pro ready. How are you more pro ready when you only started 14 games? Tell me, how are you more pro-ready than a guy that started 2 years? I just don't know.
It's hard to, when you talk to, I mean, look, people have eyeballs and they watch what Justin Fields did. That's enough for a lot of people to say, well, he's a better option than Mac Jones, who, you know, to his credit, had a very good year at Alabama. But the way I keep coming back to it and to sort of localize this to the Washington football team, you know, we all kept wondering, why does Jay Gruden always love Colt McCoy? Why does he always want to put Colt McCoy in a position to start when we're all like, really? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think the basic reason is when you're an offensive-minded coach and you have this system and you just think to yourself, I just need somebody to execute the plan as I see it. I don't want to say an empty vessel, but like, I need somebody to be the conduit to do what I want. And I think he viewed Colt McCoy as somebody who would do that. Now, the talent level maybe wasn't there. And obviously Colt McCoy had struggles staying healthy. And I just think maybe Kyle Shanahan seems a pretty, let's just say, confident young man. And then he may have sort of the same view tenfold, where he doesn't want somebody who, regardless of their upside, is going to maybe be a little more, off script the way maybe a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance could be. And he wants somebody who will execute the plan that he wants and do it without too much other stuff. Mac Jones lacks the athletic ability that these other guys do. And maybe that doesn't sound logical. I'm not saying that it is. That's the one thing I keep coming back to, that he just thinks, I just want somebody to do what I want them to do. And this guy of these options gives me that.
One last question, Ben Standing. Ben Standing joining us here from The Athletic. Or my last question. Fred may have more. How different was last year, and were there some advantages to covering this organization through the pandemic? specifically, you know, all of a sudden guys were made available, or you could get to guys in the off season because it was so much simpler than having to be at the facility.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was too much positive about the whole situation.
All right, good.
You know, look, obviously it is what it is. Like, I wasn't somebody going, oh, this is terrible. Like, you know, how dare the league keep us out? I mean, look, obviously I was as, you know, concerned as anybody else. And, my hair, you know, shows that, you know, in my current look, I'm
nice.
I'm an indoor person these days. But yeah,
you should be,
you know, like, I mean, look, you know, three days a week, we're at 3 days a week. Yeah. 3 days a week. I live in Maryland. It took me 45 minutes more or less to drive each way to right. watch 20 minutes of practice. And awful. By practice, I mean, mostly them stretching, and you just right. did with a quick attendance count to right. drive back. And honestly, those were often the best 20 minutes of my week because there wasn't much else going on. So like, I didn't mind that trudge all the time. But yeah, when you're on a Zoom call with fellow reporters and you want things to ask, you know, you can't always, you sometimes have to do it in front of everybody. That stinks when you're trying to yeah. write a specific story or whatever, to have to share quotes. You know, sometimes it's being in the locker room, even if you don't talk to anybody, just seeing interactions, you know, how do people, who's talking to who, what's the vibe, what, you know, what's body language, you know, or maybe, you know, somebody limping around or, you know, whatever, all that was out. And then of course, you know, it's just like, you know, just the basic routine of life, you know, no fans in the stands or very limited ones for them. You know, that wasn't any fun. You lose all the atmosphere. So definitely wasn't great. You know, I've yet to meet Chase Young in person since he's been a member of the Washington football team. I was at the combine, but that was 100 years ago at this point. So, you know, all that type of stuff, it made it a challenge. And I don't really know what we're going to get this year, to be honest. I'm not sure we're going to be back in the locker room or not, but that's part of one of the big questions, you know, we have, at least on the media side.
Well, that is something that most people don't think about and a lot of people don't bring up. It's easy for you to interview me and me to be interviewed by you when I've been around you multiple times, when I've felt you out like you feel me out, mm-hmm. and you get to learn my personality through these interviews. How hard is it to learn a new player when you've never been around him to feel his energy? Talking through a Zoom is so emotionless. Like, he's not really keen to open up to you as much because he doesn't know you. So how hard is it to interview these guys for a whole 16 games for a season and not really know the ghost inside the shell?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, you know, there were certain players, you know, like Tress Way comes to mind, or maybe, you know, Terry McLaurin a little bit, like, because they were familiar with some of us, like, there was a little more of an ease, I guess. But yeah, for the most part, especially anybody that was new, they don't know us. And then it just comes down to that individual's personality. But yeah, if you're trying to write a story, especially if it's like a feature story about who this person is, unless you can talk to them one-on-one, which we were still able to do at times, you know, depending on availability. But yeah, it's very difficult. And maybe more to the point of what you were saying, from the player's perspective, they don't know who these people are asking me all these questions. And if you want to ask questions, there may be a little bit off the wall or a little bit challenging depending on what's happening. I don't know. How do I know who this person is that's going to ask me this? And that becomes, I would imagine, for any of us, I'm going to be, you know, I know you two here. I'm a little more comfortable to say that a girl in fifth grade was pushing me around sort of than I would be if I didn't know who the people were and they were just generically asking me questions.
I mean, and Lisa is going to hear about this, by the way. I remember the first name. You say you don't remember the last name. That's some bullshit, by the way. I think you do know the last name. There's no question. He's at Ben Standing on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. We appreciate your time, Ben. Anything else going on besides football? Anything coming down the pike?
Oh, I mean, I got my second shot coming Saturday. Kind of excited for that.
Nice.
I'm already there. I'm already vaccinated, Ben. Nice. I'm already there.
Congrats. Me too.
I don't know. The Wizards are going to make the playoffs. I don't know what's going on with that.
Oh gosh.
They might in this East. Like, if they keep winning games, like, I always tell people, when you trade a player or get a new player, I still give them a grace period. I give them 1/4 of a season, a half of a season to get to know a locker room, to get to know the teammates, so then we can get the best out of him. You can't tell me with two All-Stars, you shouldn't have a chance in the East. And you're talking about, we was Andre Drummond away from probably making a deep run in the East. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, so it's that level of optimism that some people have that I don't know what to say. I mean, to me, like I get it. The players, the coaches, they all want to win, and that's fine. Yeah, it's actually like a really interesting question about the football team is, in the long run, what will have been better? That they made the playoffs and had that experience, or they didn't make the playoffs and then now are picking like 10? Because if the real goal is to get a quarterback, well, at picking a 10 or 11, they may not even have to move, or even if they trade up, it's a small trade. I don't know. There's obviously benefit of that experience. So the Wizards are going through the same thing. They want to make the playoffs for reasons that we don't have enough time to get into. But this is a draft where there's like supposedly like five prospects who are considered to be pretty impressive. The higher they're up in the standings, obviously the worse the odds are, blah, blah, blah. So I would think that the longer term, they're better off getting a top five pick, hopefully, and versus making the playoffs. But I don't think as an organization, they agree with me.
Washington Wizards right now, currently 12th in the Eastern Conference and 12 games under 500.
Hey, no matter how you get there, long as you get there. Listen, I call them the Washington Cicadas because they win every 9 years, and this is the ninth year.
If you write an article about the team name, just put it down. Chick Hernandez is all in on Demon Cats.
You would be. You would be.
Why not? It's going to be ridiculous no matter what. It's going to be ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's going to be
unless for you, unless for you, it's Redwood.
No, this is what it is. Everybody on here got a daughter, right? Well, at one point, your daughter is going to get married and change her last name from your last name. She's still your daughter. She just got a new last name. All right? So we're still that team from Washington. We just got a new last name.
There are times I think Fred's the smartest guy in town. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
I don't like him talking about my daughter getting married, damn it. So
well, that's how you have to look at it. Guess what that marriage just brought you? Another son. All right? Now, she changed her last name, but she's still your daughter, and you still love her, but we just taking on a new name. And I know people don't like change. People don't like change, and they sure don't like change forced on them. So now they feel like the change is forced when we should look at the bright side. We got a new name. Let's pick it out together, and let's ride with it.
If my daughter brings home a guy on a date, I'm going to find Ben's Lisa for him to come over there and beat his ass. That's what I'm going to do.
Hey, no. Yeah. Why are you mad when normal people do normal things? Just because they are a kid,
man.
They're still going to be normal. They're still going to be normal. And it's normal for her to start today. I'm sorry, old daddy chick. Oh, the dirty man at the end of the corner that want the kids to stop playing in his yard. Come on, dude.
Here are the three things I'm going to do when my daughter brings a date over. I'm going to wear khaki pants, and I am going to be cleaning my gun, talking about my prison time, and then pee myself right in front of him and see what his reaction is.
And I'm sorry, your energy is just not intimidating. Yeah, it ain't nothing you can do to be intimidating. Like you just have a good guy's energy.
Yeah, that's a great act. That's what it is. Ben Standing, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate it. We got 2 weeks to the draft. I'm sure. I can't wait to see what happens. And with this organization that we all know and have covered and have played for a long time, as soon as you think you know what's going on, you don't. And I can't wait for that pops.
Stop being a Debbie Downer. That energy.
It's not a Debbie Downer. I love it.
In the building. Let me tell you something. As the Washington football team, we have never in NFL history lost to the Cowboys. NFL history with the Washington football team, we have never not made the playoffs. All I'm telling you is good times are ahead of us. Lead a pass in the past, and let's drive this car through the front rear shield, not the rearview mirror.
See what I deal with, Ben, on a regular basis? This guy. Ben, thanks for your time, man. Enjoy the next 2 weeks as we get ready for the draft.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the invite here. Good to see you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Ben Standing.
Great hair, by the way.
Great hair, yes. For those who are listening, he's got great hair. I've got none. That's Ben Standing of The Athletic. All right, thanks, Ben. All right, before we get out of here, NFL teams are saying, these quote voluntary workouts, a lot more teams now saying, we're not about that. A lot of guys, and you knew this was going to happen, that they felt so much healthier last year because there weren't all the workouts. And so now you got teams saying, you know what? I'm chilling on this voluntary workout thing. You knew that was probably going to come. Do you think it's going to go league wide? And You think it's going to remain that way? Do you think we'll go back to the
old? I think that's an old man trait. The older teams are going to demand that they don't come. The younger team that don't know no better, like the Washington football team, they just happy to be back around each other. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize, you have some of these guys that play football in Boston for New England, but live in California. All right, so traveling back and forth with a wife at home who's very demanding, who wants to protect the kids, you know, it's all kind of things. And do I think the guy's body felt a lot better? Yes. And do I think it's going to be a lot of changes come? This is going to have to happen. Now that we're playing 17 games, 53 men is not enough. They're going to have 60-man rosters. So that's by seven. That's one position each. They're going to have two bye weeks instead of one. They're going to have to extend the offseason to more days off than more days practice. So it's going to be a lot of growing pains here. But they will not make that roster bigger this year because the owners ain't with paying any more money out. So if they're going to ever keep it 53, it will be for this year. But look for next year. Bigger rosters, bigger teams, a chance for more guys to make it to the NFL, and a chance for more guys to actually have a chance to mature and get to the point where they can play the game.
I asked Ben this, and I'll ask you because we are 2 weeks out from the draft. So next week we'll get a little more into the draft. But you had a chance to sit down with the coach, Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. You have your own personal opinions about how the draft will go. Do you think they stay at 19?
Yes. You're talking about a coach who's never moved up or down in a draft. I only look at your habits. Your habits tell me who you are. I got a coach right now who never trades out of a place and never goes up for an athlete. He's going to be patient. He's going to wait. All right. And that's why I said Jeremiah Uzu-Kamara might be the guy, because as I look at his past, he drafts athletic linebackers. That's his gist, and he puts them behind very big defensive lines. All right, that's Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thompson, that's Thomas Davis, that's all of these guys. This has been his MO. So if I have to go about what you've done and what you did, I'm going to have to say we go linebacker in the first round, we go offensive tackle in the second round, maybe Sam Kassimi from Texas. It's a couple of guys out there. And then after the third round, which has been our magic round, like we found – Terry McLaurin in the third round, Antonio Gibson in the third round. The third round has been our gem, and this is when we're going to steal a guy. I think we're going to steal a guy because every draft is three or four guys that drop from the first round every year. And I think Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech might be that guy this year.
Okay. So we'll get more into the draft next week. Oh, I just got an alert from Oscar De La Hoya Boxing. So it's going to be on now. Aaron Donald versus Ben Standing's Lisa. I think it's
going to
be a good battle.
That should be a brawl. And by the way, I love my vintage boxers, Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson. I love them. But the days of watching y'all fighting is over with. Old men fighting in the ring ain't fun for me to watch no more.
No,
like all of them are taking fights right now. All of them are taking fights. And I'm like, why watch Dusty Uncles fight at a barbecue? All right, why?
It's you listen to them talk, and it's inevitable because they're all facing brain damage from their sport. I mean, come on, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, that was a joke of a fight. And now it's going to be Mike and Evander, or at least they're talking
Mike
about
and
it.
Evander. So it's guaranteed that Evander will leave that ring with absolutely zero ear meat. None. He will have no ears left after this win right here.
This is so disgusting. I sit there and I think about this. You know, my kids are roughly, the average age is 20. Okay. So the two things that make me laugh is if I were to explain to them that Mike Tyson literally bit a piece of a man's ear off during a bout. They're like,
and kissed him on the cheek. And kissed him on the cheek afterwards.
Right.
I'm sorry, Evander. Yeah.
Come on, Pops. That didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. And when they look at videos of Michael Jackson, what they think Michael Jackson looks like is not what I think or you
think.
Well,
Michael Jackson is actually one of the few human beings. Actually, he's the only human being to be a part of two races. He was born black and he ended up white. All right. We've never seen that happen before in our life. He's a superhero. Translucent is what he goes by.
He's what? What?
He's translucent.
Translucent. I thought you said transmutant. I was like, that's a whole different, you know, so many different names. All right, let's get out of here, man. Good talk. Great to have Ben Standing on. I'm waiting. The clock is ticking on the draft. But I think you've sold me on the fact that Ron Rivera will stay at 19. And now it's a matter of who's going to be there. Because as we all know, during the draft, somebody slips, somebody moves up, and you start scratching your head
every
like, what the hell?
Year, if five go the opposite way and five move up into the draft, it's going to be five teams that seen somebody that everybody got graded as a second rounder that they say, no, that's who we want as a first round. It happens every year. One team. That's all it takes to like you. One.
All right, that is Fred Smoot. He wants the Red Wolves. I am Chick Hernandez. I want the Demon Cats as the new name of the Washington organization.
He doesn't really want the Demon Cats.
I really don't, but I just think it's tremendous. The marketing alone would be spectacular. It's like a cartoon character, Demon Cat.
It's
all right,
terrible.
Let's get out of here. That is Fred Smoot. I'm Chick Hernandez and an absent Cy Amish Fenwick, who is gaining major brownie points right now with an anniversary dinner, although it's not really their anniversary because – girlfriend and boyfriend anniversaries don't really matter.
It doesn't.
All right, that's your opinion. Presented by Bet Online. Thanks for listening.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.